I'm going to do, this is the presentation I did at AES New York in October, and this is a more formal, wrote it all out and, you know, kind of deal. Then after the break, we'll do another session on a game I wrote for Android, which I finished last week. So that session will be a little bit more informal, and I'll go, this one's more about programming, the second one will be more about the FMOD and music in general, and music for cell phones in general. So let's go.
If people have questions, do you want them to kick it in or do you want them to wait?
For the first one, let's wait to the end of the questions session at the end. For the second one, jump on it at any time. Like I say, a little more informal. So, well, it says good afternoon, but I think it's actually good evening. My name is Peter Drescher, and I am currently an independent contractor working on a variety of interactive audio projects out of my Turing Machine Studios, producing Pro Tools Studios in Redmond, Washington. In previous incarnations, I've been a audio director at Microsoft, principal sound designer at Danger Incorporated, contributing editor for Electronic Musician Magazine, and a Road Dog Blues Man piano player. Most recently, I've been doing audio programming and app development in Java for Android devices, in part because the Android operating system seems so familiar to me. This is not really surprising, given that it was written by many of my former colleagues from Danger. Even the naming conventions are similar to the code I worked with for 7 years to produce ringtones, system sounds, and mobile game soundtracks for the T-Mobile Sidekick. In fact, I like to think that Android is what the Danger OS could have become had we not been so beholden to the demands of the carriers. Last year at AES in San Francisco, I spoke about writing an app in C++ for Mac OS that played the FMOD interactive music examples. FMOD is a powerful game audio production and auditioning system that produces sophisticated interactive soundtracks for a wide variety of best-selling PC and AAA console games. It allows sound designers to create layers of audio, implement interactivity, and export event and sound bank files to be incorporated into the game code by the programmer. So, you can imagine my excitement when I heard that our friends in Melbourne had released a version of FMOD for Android. Here we have my two favorite technologies, like peanut butter and strawberry jam, together for the first time. I was looking for a project to test out the software and came across Vector Pinball by Brian Neninger of Dozen Cat Software. The game was simple, fun, open source, and silent. Perfect. Here's how I created the soundtrack. First, I fired up my Pro Tools rig to make sound effects and decided to use samples of synthesizer technology from the 1980s as source material to match the vector graphics aesthetic of the game. For example, the flippers play a classic TR-808 ping sound. The bumpers use the Roland D50 internal 1-11 Fantasia patch, and the ball launch sound uses another D50 patch appropriately named Android. Then I wrote interactive background music consisting of three tracks, bass, drums, and pad. The bass line is cut into 5 segments, 3 loops, and 2 transitions, and moves back and forth between the related keys of C major and A minor. The 3 drum loop samples can be played individually or in combinations. The pad is designed to be played at any time, allowing serendipity to provide polyrhythmic sync. By tuning the bumpers, rollovers, and other effects to a pentatonic scale, C, D, E, G, and A, I ensured that all the sounds were in the same key as the music, which produces a euphonious effect, also known as the secret Yanni technique. We will be coming back to the secret Yanni technique in detail in the second part of this presentation. In fact, the soundtrack can be thought of as an interactive song, where the bumpers' sounds produce a melody, which is played over harmonies that vary based on gameplay. The sounds are then imported into FMOD Designer, the tool used to specify playback behavior and audition interactivity. Sound effects are implemented by creating events, which are basically containers with links to the audio files. For example, the Dings event, shown here, contains 6 samples to be played at random so that each time the event is triggered, a different sample will be played. This is an example of data-driven game audio, where the sound designer determines the playback behavior and the programmer just fires off the event. On the other hand, the rollover sound consists of a single sound which the game code plays in various combinations at different pentatonic pitches as an example of algorithmic sound generation. FMOD's interactive music system is geared towards keeping multiple audio streams in sync so that different tracks can be started and stopped at will, but the beat goes on. This is achieved by putting the drum loops and the bassline themes on the same timeline. The bassline is completely data-driven, meaning the cue is started by the program and then varied using a real-time parameter called base sequence. Increasing the value of the parameter causes the bassline to transition from one segment to the next in a progression designated by the composer, as indicated by the interconnecting gray lines. The drum track is varied algorithmically. Drum loop segments are all synced to the same timeline, but are started and stopped by the game code, so that they can be played in different combinations. A strictly data-driven solution would be to sample all the combinations and then play them at random or by parameter. The algorithmic method you hear is slightly less complicated and trades increased CPU for decreased disk space. Maybe the most important aspect of FMOD Designer is the ability to audition the sounds interactively during development. You open the audition window, seen here at the bottom of the screen, start the bass line, and then listen to the loops and transitions as you move the bass sequence slider up and down. The same kind of thing can be done for the sound effects. This way, the sound designer can be assured that the events will play as intended in the game. The audio files themselves are linked into a sound bank, where compression and load behavior can be specified. For this game, I'm using MP3 at 33% with the decompress into memory setting. This brings 8 meg of samples down to about 800K and tells the FMOD engine to load up everything first, then play from memory. This seems to work best on Android devices where onboard RAM is fast and plentiful. Finally, selecting Build from the FMOD Designer menu generates the following files: the .fev file containing the control data, the .fsb soundbank file containing the sample data, and the .h header file containing constants representing events and parameters. These are delivered by the sound designer to the audio programmer, who in this case was me as well. When writing and debugging Java code for Android apps, I used the Eclipse IDE, that's Integrated Development Environment, with the Android plugin on a quad-core i7 iMac. The first thing you have to decide is what level of Android SDK you are writing for. This can get somewhat complicated as there are many Android devices out there supporting a wide variety of operating systems and hardware features. For this project, I tested on a Nexus phone running Gingerbread, version 2.3.4, so I set up for SDK level 9. This means that the app will run on Android devices that support higher level numbers, currently up to 13, actually 14 at this point, like the Motorola Zoom tablet, but not on older phones running Froyo version 2.2. This is one of the reasons developers sometimes complain that the Android market is fragmented, as opposed to the walled garden and standard hardware of the iPhone. FMOD provides libraries in the form of .so files for various Android SDK levels and configurations. The libraries are written and compiled in C, but since Android apps are written in Java, FMOD functions must be accessed using the Java Native Interface, or JNI. This programming framework allows Android methods to make calls to the FMOD C functions to initialize a system, trigger events, and perform other audio tasks. The process for setting up the JNI code in Eclipse is not exactly intuitive. Rather than put your source in the source directory, you place the necessary Android and application make files with your main.c code into a folder called JNI. The Android make file incorporates the shared libraries from your build tree into the project. You also add the header file exported from FMod Designer, which allows you to access and control audio events and music cues by name rather than number. The other exported files are placed in the assets folder, and all access to main.c is made from fmodaudio.java class. At this point, the red arrows now indicate all the parts I added to the originally silent game code to create the soundtrack. In main.c, can you see that? Yeah, it's going to be a little tough for the guys in the back. In main.c, the naming convention for all functions takes the following form. Java, see, it's highlighted, can you tell? I need to redo this. Java underscore package and class name underscore method name, and passes in a JNI envelope pointer and a Java object pointer, plus any additional Java arguments you might need. That one. In this case, we need the pathway to the folder where the media files are stored, specifically the FMod event and soundbank files in the assets folder. When exporting the game, these files are compressed and encrypted as part of the application package, a .apk file, which is a form of zip archive. No access to a media directory within the archive is available. So in the onCreate method of the main Java activity, you must copy the files out of the archive into a folder named fmod on either internal memory or external SD card. The Java string containing the media path, shown here, the media path name, is then passed to the initialization routine and translated into a C character array. The Android log print statements display the quoted message in the Eclipse log window. Technically, I should use Android log debug constant here, but the error messages are displayed in red, which makes it easier for me to pick out my program's messages on the console from the fairly constant stream of other messages generated by the operating system. Initializing the FMod engine is performed using a fairly standard set of commands. First, you create the event system, which allocates memory for the audio engine and sets a pointer for use in subsequent calls. Note that every time you make any call to the FMod API, you must check that the command completed successfully. This is standard practice for all FMod implementations, but doubly important when using JNI, because memory corruption or thread badness in the low-level C code has the potential to crash the entire system. And I've done it. If the returned result does not equal FMod OK, or zero, an error message is printed to the log, and this process is unceremoniously killed with an exit -1. Next, you initialize the system, passing in some setup variables. A series of options can be used, most of which relate to game consoles and 3D positioning, but for Android, the default normal settings are probably best. The number of virtual channels should be set depending on the maximum number of sounds you are expecting to play at any one time. Big console games may have hundreds of sounds playing simultaneously. My Little Pinball demo will only play a maximum of 20 sounds at once, so the standard 32 channels is plenty. Then you specify the media pathway using the variable we pass in from the Java layer. For this game, the space used by the audio files is only 828K, so using internal memory is acceptable. Larger game audio files might best be stored on the SD card, which works as well. Of course, this can cause problems if the SD card is subsequently removed. My second game is 22 meg in audio size, so it uses the SD card. Once the system knows where to look, you tell it to load the event file into memory. Larger games can support multiple event and soundbank files for various levels, which can be loaded and unloaded at will. However, there is a distinct pause when some of the events are triggered for the first time, which is either caused by a memory being allocated or possibly an Android bug. This issue is worked around by doing a get event call on the sounds during initialization. Better for the delay to happen in the starter procedure than during gameplay. When initializing the music system, the music samples must first be loaded into memory to prevent hiccups and loss of sync during playback. This may not be a problem for fast console CPUs, but seems to be required in the mobile environment. Calls to prepare queue allocate memory and set the value of pointers needed to start and stop the music cues, each of which are comprised of one or more music segments. Set callback designates the function to be called when a segment finishes playing, which in this case is used to start the bass track after the pad segment completes its first playback. Most of the other functions in main.c are quite simple, consisting of one or two calls to the FMUD API and checking the results each time. The most important of these functions is event system update, which must be called in a continuous loop every 50 milliseconds the entire time the app is running. This is used to trigger callbacks and ensure that the events execute in the correct sequence. To play an event, you simply do a get event call specifying the event name, which sets the pointer to the desired sound effect using generic variables. The subsequent start call fires off the event, which could be a single sound, like startup, one of a number of sounds in a container, like the bumper dings, or a complex series of sounds in multiple layers controlled by parameter. As the programmer, you don't really care too much about how the sound is produced. That's the beauty of data-driven sound design. The sound guy, who cares obsessively about the audio, has already done the interactive implementation work in FMOD Designer. So instead of telling you, a programmer, when the ball hits the bumper, you need to play one of the six sounds at random, no repeats, at half volume, up to 10 times simultaneously, dropping the oldest sound if you go over the limit, he only has to say, when the ball hits the bumper, play the dings event. Easy. The same kind of simple command is used to control the bass music sequence cue, which consists of five different segments controlled by parameter. Making sure all the segments stream, loop, and segue properly at the correct times while maintaining sample accurate sync is not a trivial operation. But fortunately, the programmer doesn't need to do any of that. All he has to do is begin the baseline and set the bass sequence parameter when appropriate. Easy. Of course, in the resource-constrained environment of mobile phone applications, there are always special considerations. One is file size. Smaller is always better. So as an audio programmer, you can sometimes generate sounds algorithmically to save space. The C play rollover function does exactly that. The rollover event is just a single plink sound, but each time the function is triggered, it plays the event up to three times, repitching the sounds to a pentatonic scale. This creates a series of 41 possible notes and chords using only a single sample. A strictly data-driven way of doing the same thing would be to record all the combinations, put them in a container event, and trigger them to play randomly. The sounds produced during gameplay would be exactly the same as the algorithmic method, but would require 40 times the amount of audio memory. Algorithmic techniques can significantly reduce the memory footprint required for certain kinds of sound effects by slightly increasing the CPU and engineering resources required. The doDrumTrack function performs a similar operation for the interactive music. Rather than sample each combination or create intricate music cue playback parameters, I simply start and stop the various loops programmatically, letting FMOD keep the tracks in tempo sync with the baseline. The disadvantage of the algorithmic technique, of course, is that it breaks the data-driven model, taking audio implementation tasks out of the hands of the sound designer and making the programmer do the work. This may be considered old school, since in the early days of game development, this was the only way to produce interactive audio. But for mobile gaming, it's sometimes worth the trade-off. Besides, in this case, I'm the sound designer and the programmer, so it really becomes a six of one, half a dozen of the other situation. All of the functions in main.c are called from fmodaudio.java class, which in turn is called by the game code whenever any audio task needs to be done.
Peter?
Yes?
I think we're one slide out of sync. You've got DrumTrack on the screen now.
You are absolutely right, sir. fmodaudio.java, that's what we're talking about, right?
There we go.
I should probably look at what I'm doing instead of looking at what I'm reading. All of the functions in main.c are called from the fmodaudio.java class, which in turn is called by the game code whenever any audio task needs to be done. For example, the playScore method is called whenever the ball hits a bumper. It first calls cPlayScore to play the dings event via JNI. Then the cScore variable is incremented and used to control the variations of the bass, drum, and pad tracks. This way, the music will never be played exactly the same way twice, because the rate of change will depend on how quickly you score. This is a simple but effective method for controlling the variations of the interactive music. The FMod Audio class also performs a few other essential tasks. It starts and calls the cUpdate loop every 50 milliseconds using the Android handler mechanism as recommended by the FMod example code. The main and FMod libraries are also loaded, and the native prototypes used by JNI are defined here as well. Actually, I used to call it Genie, but apparently that's not done. The first time the game is played, the FMod event and soundbank files are copied out of the archive into internal memory in Bounciac. Sorry? Am I missing a slide? Oh, no, I'm sorry, yeah, that one. The one in yellow. Bounciactivity.java, the primary activity class that contains the application control overrides. Calls to FMod audio methods to start, stop, and pause the soundtrack are done here as well. The sound effect events are all triggered from field.java, the main gameplay class. And that's all there is to it. After bug testing, I exported a .apk file that can be loaded on any Android device running Gingerbread or higher. Here's what the final version sounds like. I then posted the app and the Eclipse project to my Twittering Machine website and published an annoying audio blog on O'Reilly about the project. This served both as a demonstration of the technology and as an example of my work. The author of the game, Brian Denninger, liked the resulting soundtrack so much he wanted to incorporate it into his source code on GitHub and post it to the Android market as a free download. However, at the time, FMod for Android was still in pre-release development mode, so I doubted we could get a commercial license even if we wanted to spend any money. So I rewrote the soundtrack using Android methods instead of FMod. This turned out to be rather easy, as all the sound design had already been done, and the audio calls to the game code were already in place. It was merely a matter of removing the JNI and FMod code and replacing it with calls to the Android methods, media player, and sound pool, which I had used in previous projects. First, I converted the sound effects from the full-resolution AIF files in the FMod soundbank into Ogg Vorbis files, which is the native audio format for the Android system. Ogg files are good for game audio because of the low-artifact, high-quality nature of the compression algorithm, and the fact that they loop seamlessly, which is always a problem when using MP3. Batch converting the files was simple, using Audacity, which is the only software I trust for exporting Ogg files. The interactive music score was going to be a bit more problematic, because there is no provision for doing that kind of thing in the Android operating system. I would have to build my own music engine with audio buffers, sample accurate mixing, file I/O, callbacks, and compact logic to manage transitions and looping. In fact, all of the functions that FMOD's interactive music system provides. This seemed like way more trouble than it was worth to reproduce what was essentially a demo app soundtrack. So instead, I remixed the music into two pieces, a minute-long looping section containing all the bass and drum variations, and a 22-second sample of the pad, which to be played as a one-shot at increasing intervals. Providing a one-minute loop of background music per level is a common method of sonifying mobile games, but also has the usual drawback of repetition. No matter how great your music is, if you play the game for more than 15 minutes, you'll find yourself reaching for the turn off the damn music button because you'll have heard it 15 times. Of course, this is one of the main reasons to implement interactive music in the first place, to increase variation so as to avoid ear fatigue over long periods of gameplay. But for the purposes of our little demo, the looping background track would have to do. All the code required to play the sound effects and music is contained in a new class called vpsoundpool.java. Now the red arrows indicate everything I added to the originally silent game code to create the soundtrack using only Java methods. There's no need for additional libraries or C code, since the necessary audio functionality is already built into the Android operating system. Setting up and controlling the sound effects and music this way is much simpler than using FMOD. As before, we initialize the audio system during startup, but all you have to do is get a new sound pool object and a hash map to store the sounds in an easily accessible array. You can also access and set various system volume levels, which I use here to make the music play softer than the sound effects. Next, the sounds are loaded into the sound pool map array from the resources in the application package. Usually, sounds are placed in the raw resources folder in the Eclipse project, like the r.raw.drumbassloop and the r.raw.androidpad.og files shown here. Because these files are long and the drum and bass track is designed to be looped, the streaming media player method is used as opposed to sound pool, which is designed for short, one-shot sound effects. Brian preferred to put the sound effect audio files into the assets folder rather than the raw resources, because there they can be more easily organized into a hierarchical file structure. The assets must then be accessed by file description rather than from the auto-generated R.dot resource, but it accomplishes the same thing, which is to load the audio files into the sound pool map array in memory, so they can be played by the app. The play sound method is the equivalent of the fmod get event and start calls. It is passed the index number of an object in the sound pool map, along with the volume and pitch, which then calls the sound pool class to play the audio file. This is the simplest way of playing a sound on Android, and provides old school, here's an audio file, play it, functionality. In order to reproduce the data-driven bumper processing, you have to write a little code. The while statement in the playScore method picks ding sounds from the array randomly, ensuring that the same sound is not played twice in a row. The drum and bass loop is started after 20 dings using a simple set it and forget it function. However, the timing of when to play the one-shot pad uses exactly the same mechanism as the FMOD version. Ironically, the rollover processing is almost identical to the FMOD version because both generate sounds algorithmically. The main difference is rather than using the more manageable FMOD event set pitch by semitone method, I had to calculate the pitch variation amounts to use with sound pool, where 1 equals no change, 0.5 equals octave lower, and 2 equals octave higher. Now, actually, I found the values to plug in online somewhere, but without the explanatory comment, you'd be hard-pressed to interpret that set of 7 decimal place floating point numbers as a pentatonic scale. The rest of the methods in the class play the various sound effects, do pause, resume, and stop processing, and performs memory cleanup when the app is finished. Overall, the VP Soundpool class is fairly simple, because the sound pool and media player methods are designed to be easy to initialize and manage. This is why many Android games use them to create soundtracks, rather than using third-party middleware like FMod. However, each technique has its advantages and disadvantages over the other. Comparing and contrasting the two can be educational. Obviously, the greatest advantage to using FMod is the ability to create complex, sophisticated, interactive soundtracks that would be prohibitively difficult and time-consuming to develop using straight-up Android methods. Perhaps even more importantly, FMod Designer lets you audition sounds in context and implement interactivity before assets are handed off to the programmer. This gives the sound designer the power to experiment, modify, and refine the audio before it's ever played in the game, which greatly improves the flow of production, integration, and testing. And as we saw with the FMod code, it makes the audio programmer's job a lot easier. Indeed, that's the whole point of data-driven audio systems, which have become the industry standard for console and PC gaming. When you have potentially hundreds of thousands of audio files to mix and play according to on-screen action, audio engines like FMod are no longer a nice thing to have, they become an absolute necessity. Mobile games may not currently reach that level of complexity and depth, but soon enough, they will. There's another distinct advantage to using FMod for mobile devices: cross-platform compatibility. FMod runs not only on Android phones and tablets, but also on iPhone, iPad, PSP, Nintendo 3DS, and more, and Wii. The same designer project can be used to export event and sound bank files for all these platforms, and most of the API calls can be reused as well. This greatly simplifies development and deployment on multiple platforms, which is an absolute necessity when competing in the mobile marketplace. The FMod code is obviously more complex than the Java version, with a concomitant higher potential for bugginess, especially when dealing with the currently constant changing hardware capabilities and operating system updates of mobile devices. Debugging FMod API calls in Eclipse is painful because the C code is first compiled and then accessed via JNI. This means you can set breakpoints and test data values in the Java code, but not in main.c. If you want to check the control flow or the value of a variable, you have to put in print statement, compile, and check the log for results. It's reminiscent of debugging code on an IBM mainframe in the 80s and can be a slow, aggravating process. I know, because that's what I used to do. There are technical issues that can be problematic as well. Any third-party engine is going to require more CPU to run than using methods built into the OS, and FMod is no exception. It runs on its own thread, and so doesn't slow down animation or UI responsiveness, but it does require a high priority to produce smooth audio playback. For the simple pinball demo, this is not a problem, where the app came nowhere near taxing the ample CPU of the Nexus device. But when playing large, complex games on slower phones, you might reach the limit sooner with FMod than you would using Java methods. The FMod architecture uses multiple audio buffers to ensure a constant flow of data to the codec. However, increasing the number and size of the buffers increases the latency, i.e. the time between when the ball hits the bumper and the sound is heard. On consoles with fast CPUs, this isn't much of a problem. But on a mobile phone running at 24 kHz, the current standard of four buffers at 512 kHz each translates to about 85 milliseconds of latency. This is not exactly considered snappy, though it does seem acceptable for the pinball demo. Decreasing the number and or size of the buffers will decrease the latency, but also increase the CPU required to produce sounds. The buffer parameters can be adjusted during initialization, but setting them too low will cause the audio to break up during playback. If that weren't enough of a problem, I suspect the lag time might be different on different phones and operating system updates. For example, when running the game on the development version of Ice Cream Sandwich, the latency seemed to be less noticeable, but the initial startup delay had increased significantly. Actually, I think that was a bug that got fixed, but I'm not certain about that. FMod was originally designed for console gaming, and the version for Android is still pretty new. While working with the development release, I ran into a number of bugs that needed to be worked around. all of the bugs I reported on the FMod forums were fixed in the next release, he said, with some geek pride. But the pinball implementation is fairly simple, and I wouldn't be surprised if other bugs pop up in more complex soundtracks. In fact, I've heard more than one sound designer complain about FMod bugginess even in the console versions. As usual, it's a work in progress. The most obvious advantage of using Android Java methods is that it's free. FMod licenses Android commercial implementations at a quite reasonable $500 per mobile platform. But even that can be an issue for independent developers posting free downloads to the Android market. On the other hand, if you've got a budget, are deploying on multiple platforms, and trying to make a buck, the FMod license is not going to be your biggest production expense anyway. However, using the Android SoundPool method does seem to eliminate the latency issue, because the built-in API calls will always be faster and more efficient than any third-party middleware can hope to be. Of course, some amount of latency will always occur, but when using SoundPool, it's below the threshold where you notice. And due to the increased efficiency, you'll be able to play more sounds with less CPU when using Java methods than with the FMod implementations. Also, the chances that your code will still function correctly after multiple system upgrades is pretty good, because you've got the entire Google QA department testing to make sure the API still works as expected in each new release. Thus, your game will most likely be compatible with future versions of hardware and API levels, but there's less guarantee that this will be true when using third-party software. In the end, it depends on your schedule, the budget, the complexity of your game, and the ambitiousness of your audio programmer. For simple games, and from a soundtrack point of view, I consider Angry Birds to be a simple game, the sound pool and media player methods will give you the most bang for your buck, pun intended. The disadvantages to using Java methods are the flip side of the reasons for using FMod. With sound pool and media player, your ability to produce sophisticated interactive soundtracks is limited to the time and energy the programmer can dedicate to the audio. And since the programmer usually has to do animation, and physics, and UI, and 1,000 other tasks, Audio frequently gets a low priority. This is exactly how game audio was produced 20 years ago, and is one of the major reasons for the rise of data-driven systems like FMod in the first place. Also, when using only Java methods, the sound designer must work closely with the programmer to implement, test, and debug the soundtrack. For example, the audio files in Vector Pinball are all normalized to -1 dB, as is standard practice in mobile. In the FMod implementation, individual volume levels are set in the event. If one of the effects is too loud, the sound designer lowers the level in the event, auditions the result, exports the event file, and uploads it to the build. The programmer doesn't have to do a damn thing. But when using SoundPool, each sound effect's volume level is set in the API call, along with the pitch. Volume balancing must be done in the code, and unless the sound designer is making his own builds, he has to estimate the amount he wants to lower the volume, communicate that to the programmer, and then wait until the next build to hear if he guessed right or not. Now, multiply that process by 100 different sound effects, and you can see why maintaining a good relationship with the engineering staff is an important part of a sound designer's job. Even when all the code is working correctly, a lot of it won't easily port to Objective-C for iOS devices anyway, and vice versa. Of course, there are various programming techniques for writing portable code, and these days there are even scripting systems that process your game for Android, iOS, and other platforms automatically. Apparently he wrote one. This works fine for simple trigger a sound, play a background loop type of soundtracks, but precludes the possibility of interesting interactive music processing or generated audio based on gameplay variables. Overall, I have to conclude that FMod, while more complicated and potentially more problematic to use, is the better choice for developers wishing to produce games with compelling, adaptive soundtracks. Of course, if your game only makes a few beeps and bonks with the occasional musical intro or flourish, then SoundPool Media Player is obviously the easier way to go. But if mobile gaming follows the same pattern as PC and console games, then sooner than you think, cloud-based, augmented reality, socially networked, location-aware, and console-linked pervasive games will become more prevalent and will require more complex soundtracks. For a closer look, The code for both the FMOD and Java-only projects can be downloaded from the displayed URLs and can be used under the standard open source licenses. I encourage you to play around with the technology yourself and use it to make cool soundtracks for mobile games. Thank you. Questions? Now, I have a feeling a lot of the code stuff went over the head of a lot of people here. We're not exactly yet. There was one programmer back there, I think. There you go, a couple of guys. So if you have any questions about any of that stuff, yes?
In both methods, you do pitch changing. When you do the pitch changing, does it preserve the length, or is it the same?
No, it changes higher and shorter and lower and longer. It's a very simple pitch. It just changes the sample rate. So, like I said, it's good for doing short sound effects, but you wouldn't want to be doing that for the music. Actually, you can't do that.
Thank you.
Good enough.
So with FMOD, how do you work with new versions of Android? Like, as a sound designer, I guess, how do you deal with FMOD in a new Android version comes out? Is that something you have to start developing, and as opposed to Java, that's more
accessibility? You know, the trick is that it should work, and so far it has. I've played this game on Gingerbread Honeycomb, which is 3.0, and a development version of Ice Cream Sandwich, which is 4, and it seemed to work fine. Like, although, again, like I said, when I tried it on the development version I had for the Ice Cream Sandwich, the latency seemed smaller, but the startup time was like 40 seconds. Like, what the hell? Again, I hear they may have fixed that. So the systems are supposed to be backwards compatible. And for Android, they do come out with system updates on a regular basis. This one uses 4.36. I think I did originally with 4.35. That's when they had a bunch of bugs, and they fixed that 4.36. I think they're up to 4.39 at this point. which has some Android-specific processing as well. They did also change. The original version had one set of libraries for 2.2 and below, for 4 and below, another set for Gingerbread and above. And they said, no, that was stupid. We don't, they have one set of libraries, and they access the OpenESL to do that. So Google takes care of a lot of that in some cases. And of course, while this program that was developed at level 9, like level 14 now, level 14 is supposed to be guaranteed to play 9, anything below that. But if I were to write this for level, 10, it won't play on level 9 anymore. So it's always best to write for the lowest thing you can get. But again, there are these updates as well. And of course, the new updates allow new things, and different screen sizes, and Honeycomb has a whole bunch of different UI stuff as well, which if you want to take advantage of that, you have to recompile and do stuff as well. Google has also gotten good, or better, about when you download something from the market, it can ping your device and see what level you're on and send you the right file. So you can have multiple levels there. I can one for 9, for 10. Oh, and the one for Honeycomb has the special doodah in it, so you get that if you're running a Honeycomb device. It's pretty complicated, though, and still a work in progress. Fragmented is the word thing. The polite way of saying fucked up. But it's just the way it is. Yes?
Is FMOD the only engine, I guess, that's currently supporting Android or
I'm good friends with our friends over at Wise, which is the other. Basically, in the game world, it's FMOD and Wise. There's another one. Can't remember what they're called. Oh, Rad Labs has some stuff, and there's a couple others. Actually, a friend of mine is writing a new one. But FMOD and Wise are the big, the two big boys. Wise does have an implementation for iOS. They've had that for a while. I hear they just came out with an FMOD implementation. I haven't actually checked it out much. And it's funny because the truth is, I'm friends with the guys who write Wise. They're buddies. And I love those guys, and they're great work. And I won't say anything bad about Wise except for one thing: it doesn't run on a Mac. It has to be PC. And Fmod runs perfectly on my Mac. And my Pro Tools, I'm a Mac shop. I got an iMac for code development. I got a Pro Tools system running on a PowerBook. I got my little spiffy Air here. And I tried running Wise on Windows 7 from Parallels. Wow, that didn't work at all. I mean, it worked, but it was like it would chunk up and do weird things. And apparently, if I run Windows 7 on Boot Camp, where native, it works better. But I used to be an audio director at Microsoft, so I don't use Windows anymore. And like I said, I use Fmod mostly because it runs on my Mac perfectly. And I'm also interested more in, I've done some Mac OS and iOS stuff programming as well, but I like the Fmod or the Java stuff because it's so similar to the code I worked on with Danger. So Fmod, Android seem to be the more fun thing for me to do. Other engines are available for other things. People are mostly not using these kinds of interactive engines for mobile games much yet, like I said, because mostly there's other issues involved, and it's not the games aren't quite there yet. Angry Birds, which is a multi-billion-dollar seller, beep squawk, that's it. We really don't need a lot of interactive processing there, but that will change over time. And if you want to start porting you're playing Gears of War on your Xbox, and then you have a little version of it on your phone to get more points while you're on your commute to work. Then you're going to want to have something a little bit more sophisticated to play with there. So it'll happen, I think. That's a prediction. Yes.
How much memory space is available to the audio designer on these Android devices? And did you max out the available space?
On this one, not even close. I think the maximum size a application can be is 50 meg. The phone I'm running, the Nexus I have here, has got 3 gig, 4 gig, something's huge. And then you can put, 8 gig memory cards in. You can run off the card just as easily as you can off internal memory. But I think the internal maximum is 50 meg. I'm not sure if that's compressed or uncompressed. You might be able to have 50 meg of data and then uncompress it into a bunch in memory. I'm not really sure. My other game, which I'll talk about in the next presentation, that uses 22 meg of audio data because it's a lot more sound, bigger. Doesn't seem to have any problem at all. Ironically, the audio stuff, because Fmod takes care of all the memory, Fmod takes its memory chunk and then does all its memory allocation in here. The problem I was having with my next game was the bitmaps were maxing out, and apparently it took me a while to figure out that it only would crash if it was plugged into the debugger. I'm like, if you unplug it, it works fine. I'm like, that's kind of fun. And again, that's an Android debugger problem. And I saw these long lists of people just railing against Google, all those bastards, online about this exactly this problem. I'm like, oh well, there you go. There are apparently some workarounds, but anyway. Anything else? Thank you.
All right, well, let's take a break now.
So I guess we're going to take a little break, and then I have a second game, which uses the secret yawning technique extensively, and it'll be a less programming-oriented and more informal than my reading my notes here, and I'll show you the Fmod implementation and play around with it, and there you go. Thank you.
All right, so let's take 15 minutes. We have water and cookies.